religions, moral, serious, feudal, general, restricted, enormous, or diminutive. The Americans make associations to give entertainments, to found seminaries, to build inns, to construct churches, to diffuse books, to send missionaries, and in this manner they found hospitals, prisons, and schools. If it's proposed to inculcate some truth or to foster some feeling by which the encouragement of a great example, they form a society. Wherever at the head of some new undertaking you see the government in France or a man of rank in England, in the United States you will find, you're sure to find, an association. Today throughout the world, there is similar profusion of associations. And they have arisen in contrast to the nation state. These are often referred to as non-governmental associations, and they also conduct activities large and small throughout the world. There's been a tremendous growth in the number and the influence of non-governmental associations over the last few decades. However, perhaps because of American enthusiasm for such associations, or because of the narrowness of their objectives, these organizations are sometimes resented and limited in various nation states, often being considered instruments of Western influence. In the United States itself, these kinds of organizations are sometimes disparaged as special interests or lobbying organizations. I always remember one of the graduates of this law school, Lou Kramer, had just finished a very prestigious appointment in Washington, D.C., and I had just moved to Washington, and I was asking him what he was doing, and he described his work, and as a naive young person, I said, well, that sounds like a lobbyist, and he said, well, yes, I guess I am a lobbyist, and that began my introduction to the value and importance of lobbyists and non-governmental organizations in general. So today, our discussion will focus on the impact and effectiveness of non-governmental organizations and their important role in religious freedom. Now, in addition to non-governmental organizations, we have the influence of international institutions of various kind, including the United Nations and others of great stature, which have also grown in increasing importance in coordinating, motivating, restricting, and sometimes punishing nation states. As these international organizations have grown in power and prestige, they too have spawned a plethora of non-governmental organizations which are intent on informing the objectives and the priorities of these international organizations. So as we talk about our theme of connecting communities of discourse, this session today is really about how those international organizations, the non-governmental organizations, have a practical impact. As one of my professors used to use in an auto racing metaphor, this is where the rubber meets the road. So this is where the ideas are shaped. We are privileged to have three distinguished panelists today who will help elucidate these ideas. We're going to follow the order outlined in the program. To my right is Dr. John Taylor. He studied and taught at Cambridge and at the University of Birmingham in England. He taught Islamic studies, and he has been a director of the World Council of Churches and was involved with the dialogue with people of living faiths and ideologies. He is currently the Secretary General of the World Conference on Religion and Peace, and presently represents the International Association for Religious Freedom at the United Nations Geneva location. We're grateful to have him with us and look forward to his comments. He will then be followed by Paulo Torto Ortega, who is the Director General of Religious Associations from Mexico. He has studied and taught sociology, social sciences, and is involved with the, as the secretary or the director general of religious associations. He works directly under the Secretariat of Government, which is akin to the Ministry of Interior for many nations. It is responsible for social harmony, social peace, development, and welfare in Mexico. We're grateful and privileged to have him with us. And then we will be pleased to hear from Dr. Tasir Mohamed Mandour from Egypt, who's a professor and department head at the Faculty of Medicine at Al-Azhar. University, and its only female member. She's been involved in numerous items relating to religious dialogue and is the on the Committee for Islamic Relations in the Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs. She mentioned to me earlier that her first name, Tazir, means to make things easy. So we hope that will be our privilege today. So we'll turn the microphone over to Dr. Taylor.